What's up, everybody? It's time for another wonderful episode of your favorite podcast. This is episode number 132, The One That Got Away.
Boom, ba, boom, boom, ba.
Thank you, sir. I am here. I'm your host, Dave Duncan, joined with one of my best friends in the whole wide world, Zach.
God bless you. Thank you, Dave. Good to be here.
Zach is filling in for Sean.
One of your best friends in the whole world?
Is he filling in for Sean or is he filling in for Elijah?
This is Sean, because Elijah's off today, so we'll do that.
Okay.
So, and I'm also here with one of my other best friends in the whole wide world, Mr. Tom Rivera.
Yeah!
And then Chris is here, too.
You see that? You see that?
Wow.
No love. Okay, all right.
Joined with one of the best producers in the podcast game, Lisa Duncan. Cricket. She didn't even look up. We're having all kinds of technical difficulties today. We're trying to sort them out, but bear with us, and we have a great show. We're going to be talking about some NBA, which is why Sean's not here. We're going to be talking about relationships, church, family, Mother's Day, Father's Day, and we might even bring up Michael Jordan. It could happen. New York Jets fan is going to get some advice from Philadelphia fans, and then we're probably going to pray or something. I'll leave that up to the pastor.
Michael Jordan?
Yeah. So, I am curious what you guys think about LeBron versus Jordan. I didn't watch either one of them really play all that much. So, I want to see what you guys think is, you know, with this whole... I was really hoping Elijah would be here.
I know that...
But Chris is going to have our back on, you know... I'm sure he's got an opinion.
I have an opinion, but I don't know... Yeah, I will say this. My opinion about Michael Jordan versus LeBron is there should be no opinion. Period. They're two totally different types of players. So because they're two totally different types of players, you got to define
the
what
question?
You're talking about. Define the
okay,
question.
Okay, fine. We'll define it.
Okay.
One-on-one.
So if you played one-on-one?
If they played one-on-one.
If they played one-on-one?
Yeah.
I give it to LeBron. He's bigger. He's stronger. He's just as fast.
Okay, let's look at it a different way.
Uh-huh.
Right?
Uh-huh.
You're the captain of your team.
Yeah.
You got to pick. You get first pick.
Yeah.
Who do you pick?
Am I picking a team?
Ooh, that's a good way to decide.
Who's your first
pick? If I'm picking a team, my first pick, I take LeBron.
Okay, so obviously his choice is LeBron.
No, but I'm going to tell you why. I'm going to tell you why. And it goes back to the problem with Michael Jordan that everybody has and seems to just totally forget the first near decade of Michael Jordan's career, right? He was a great player, right? We can say that we can throw out the first two or three years, right? We'll throw that out and say that's his learning curve. But
he got Rookie of the Year his first year.
Okay, all right. Well, then I'm giving him the benefit of the doubt. But my question to you is, why did he just make the playoffs in that period of time? LeBron James went to the finals every bit, but I think his first year or two, right? Right? He spent 10 years in the finals. Whether he won or not, he still spent, and he took a bunch of bums to the finals.
Whether he won or not is it can be looked at lightly.
You
Jordan
didn't
won
ask
six,
me,
won six.
But did Jordan win six, or did that Chicago Bulls team win six?
Jordan won six.
Okay,
because
right,
he left, and they didn't win.
But they still went to the finals,
and
right?
Then no, and then he
they
came back.
They didn't go to the finals or Eastern Conference Finals that year. Scottie Pippen didn't take them. I had to look that up, but I bet you Scottie Pippen.
They didn't go to the finals. I know that for sure.
Okay, but they still were. Scottie Pippen is.
But
what,
a lot of people that
how
go.
How many? How many? How many?
You have to go by the big wins, though.
No, why? For what? Why?
No, because
it's a team game.
Yeah,
it's
a team game.
Sport.
So the question is, what was Jordan really good at?
Scoring.
So scoring three from inside the paint, three pointer. From the where?
As a career, you name it, scoring.
Anywhere.
Michael Jordan could do anything anywhere. And I give him that. He could do anything anywhere on that side of the ball. He was a great defender as well. But LeBron, you asked me to pick a team. Who do I take for a team? LeBron is going to take Joe Schmo and turn him into a guy that's going to make an all-star team.
Yeah, so I think that if you're building a team, I think you want to build around LeBron. Exactly. Yeah.
Yeah, I was going to say, I think my first instinct was Michael Jordan. He has that killer instinct. Mm-hmm. But look at it, the teams that he had. Mm-hmm. LeBron really took some teams that weren't that good at all.
Right.
He carried them. Yeah, so the argument is a little better now.
Yeah, so LeBron, okay, so let's talk about that, right? He was in Cleveland, didn't do anything, so then he decided to take his talents to South Beach and recruit everybody.
Hey, that's a really
right?
That's a
mean and then way all of a sudden, that. Every other team he's been at, he's been recruiting people to play with him. So you can't sit here and say LeBron takes players and makes them better. But LeBron says, like, hey, you're good. Come play with me.
He took those teams to the finals, though. The teams that didn't have the trash teams, he took them to the finals. He lived in the finals the first half of his career.
So
he didn't. I don't think he took his.
What's interesting is when we have.
Zdrunasil Gauskas and Mo Williams was the best players on that Cleveland team for I don't know how long. You don't even know who I'm talking about.
No, I do. I do. But he didn't take him to the finals when he was in Cleveland until he came back to
Cleveland.
Yes,
he did.
His first year there? He took him to the finals?
No, not his first year. Not his first year, but they got there.
I love that when we have...
And I think they got there twice.
Anytime we have this conversation... anybody in sports, they have who is the greatest? Well, they have to trash the other guy.
Well, no, I'm not trash, Jordan.
He answered it perfectly when he said...
That you can't compare them
two different
to each
types
other.
Of players.
Well, it's not even about two different types of players. It's a different league altogether.
Agreed.
Like
agreed.
It's a different era altogether.
Agreed.
It's completely different.
Agreed. 1,000%.
But guys, is Wilt and Kareem Abdul-Jabbar in the conversation here?
No, they retired.
No, I know where you're going, and I absolutely agree with you on that. I had that conversation with people a lot of times when they start talking about the best player ever. You know what I mean? Because you're talking. But again, that's why I say you can't have that art. Because you can't sit there and tell me that Wilt Chamberlain isn't one of the greatest players ever to play the game, but then try to make the comparison between Wilt Chamberlain and Michael Jordan. Like, you can't make that comparison.
Different eras, too.
Different eras, different types of players. Like,
I'll take Kobe before LeBron.
Who?
Well, the interesting thing is, what do you want him for? Do you want him for 10 years or do you want him for one game? Like Steph Curry,
agreed.
Jordan, one game, absolutely.
Agreed. Who's going to win you the game, right?
It doesn't matter, you said. Who wins the final?
Well, what I find funny, too, is that we were having this conversation 8 years ago, who's better, LeBron or Jordan, and all LeBron has done since then is what? You know, win and bring teams to the finals.
Yeah,
and we started having this conversation 8 years ago.
He's got five championships?
No, he's got four.
Four?
Yeah. He'll more than like. Well, I feel I'm.
Ain't nobody going to beat the Lakers this year.
Yeah.
As much as I hate to say that.
Yeah. Really? You think so?
I don't see anybody beating them.
Well. Yeah, it's weird because I thought NBA was over.
Yeah. It is.
Yeah. NBA ended.
As a Sixer fan, I agree with the firing of Doc Rivers.
Absolutely.
But I
never wanted him. I thought Doc Rivers was so overrated. We could have.
He's more of a character of a coach.
You know what
right?
the problem?
Coached that team that he won that championship. Kevin Garnett, Ray Allen, and Paul Pierce in his prime. We could have coached that team to a championship. That's how good that Boston team
was
that year.
There's a difference
year.
Between...
And that's what he gets his accolades on.
There's a difference between a coach and a leader.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
So I believe that Doc Rivers is a good coach.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely. See, I would have said the other way. I think he's a good...
he cannot lead.
Really?
Yeah.
I didn't watch enough. I don't know enough about him. I would have thought he was a good leader because he's a good, like, you want to listen to him. But... You know, maybe the X's and O's were.
Yeah, but he's like, that's like saying, like, your buddy, you know, you have a buddy and he kind of, you know, when your times are hard, you listen to that, you know, that guy listens to you. You know what I mean? He doesn't need that. He needs to be a guy that says, he needs to delegate that responsibility to somebody else and be the guy that tells Joel Embiid to get his butt in the paint. You know what I mean? Like that's what a leader is going to tell you. The hardest part about being a leader, this is just my opinion, the hardest part about being a leader is saying things people don't like and being able to be honest with them
from
a good place.
That's what I thought about Herm Edwards when he was the coach of the Jets. Like, I would have loved to go out to dinner with him. Mm-hmm. I think the players really liked him. Mm-hmm. I don't think they respected him. Like, I think to be your buddy – He was a great guy. But to be able to speak to something and say, hey, you need to pick it up right now. Yes, you need to change this. That's when people, I think, stop listening to him because he's a nice guy. And he'd be a good speaker, public speaker type of guy. Maybe even a good assistant coach or something like that. But he, I don't think he demanded the respect or commanded the respect.
Absolutely, absolutely. And I'm going to say, because we saw it in that game. Those people keep saying, how did the Sixers give up in that game? And I'm going to tell you, it's because – When I looked at it, it was funny. My son was laughing at me the whole time because it was like 8-2 or 8-4, whatever it was, early. And I watched Joel Embiid trotting up the court, and I got angry because I was like, this is game seven, and you're trotting up the court. Now, maybe he's hurt. I don't know. I'm not a basketball player. I've never been in the NBA. But I would think in a game seven – you would see the body language. You would see more intensity and more fire. And I only saw that from Tyrese Maxey and PJ Tucker, of all people, who's really in that lineup. You don't, you know, he's anything he gives you is extra.
Exactly.
But can a coach really bring that out of a player? Does that have to be instilled in a player?
Yes.
They're still
having. So?
No, a coach can. It's a coach's job to bring that out of the player. Yes, it's on the player to be motivated, right? So I'm not putting it all on Doc. Yes, it's on the coaches. But the coach has to – they stop believing that – and I asked this question of a friend. They stop believing that they could win the way the coach – the way the coach's strategy
Don't
said they could win.
And
that's what they did. And that's exactly what they did. And they gave up on the – they gave up on the coach. They gave up on their plan, their game plan. I mean, I watched Tyrese Maxey started launching them. Joel Embiid stopped just wanting to give it up. It's like they just said, this isn't working, and Doc didn't make the necessary adjustments. And I think the necessary adjustments were part of it was to tell some people to do some things that they aren't necessarily comfortable with. James Harden, go shoot the ball. Be aggressive. You know what I mean? No one can really stop you in spurts.
Tommy,
you're
taking notes.
And the same thing with Embiid. Get your big butt in the paint.
This is good stuff for like leading a church.
Yeah, I think so.
You got to be able to tell people to get in the paint.
Yeah.
And as far
to get in the paint. He did that one time. He told me, "No, you're not."
He did that on Sunday.
Yeah, he did that Sunday. Yeah. Remember?
Yeah. Last Sunday he did it. He made a call out to the congregation. Let's go. And he's so right.
Sometimes you need that guy. You need the friend. You need to be a friend. Sometimes
we walk through the. We walked through the gym on the way out, just like you asked, and just walked right out. But
sorry.
Well, I was praying about it today, you know, and I was saying, hey, listen, I was reading Hebrews, and basically, hey, listen, it says when your spiritual leader asks you to do something, he has such a special and important job of protecting our soul. So if he reaches out in any way how we can help him, you know, let's do it joyfully.
Yeah.
So he can not only help himself, help us, and help this community and help spread the kingdom like he's supposed to. So, and then he just came to me today. Hey, Zach, you want to skip Bible study and come to the show? And I was like, absolutely. Didn't even think about it. So God is good, and I'm here today. So thank you, brother.
Awesome. Let me ask, do you guys think that there's a different pressure, especially from like the commercialism side of our culture, for Mother's Day versus Father's Day? I think Mother's Day gets pushed a little more, right? Like if we're bad people if we don't do the Mother's Day thing.
Yeah.
So Lisa was telling her coworkers, she was like, they said, what's your husband going to do for you for Mother's Day? She's like, I'm not his mom. So I'm not going to do it. And he's, you know, whatever. But I feel like we get in trouble. And I believe me, I still did a couple, you know, some things.
Notice how quiet this table is.
I know, right?
It got so quiet in here.
Yes. Well,
listen, it's funny because hold on.
Go ahead. No, I was just going to say, like on Sunday, we talked about this. Now, is it
when we went for a bike ride for hours? We went for a bike.
Yes.
Children.
Exactly. It was such a good time. But is it the same responsibility as a husband to take care of his wife on Mother's Day as it is their kids? You know, is there same level of pressure there? You know what I mean?
Yes,
since it's Mother's Day, I mean, is it the husband's got to take care of the mother too?
In my opinion, you have to do it. Now, Miles is at an age where I had begun more to encourage it. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
So it was like, for a good example is my Miles is one of my best friends. As one of my other kids, my extra kids. I told him to make sure you tell your mother, you know, as many times as you can, how much you love her and you appreciate her for being your mom. And I think that becomes, you know, that I did more of that. But to your point, and the people that know me know that this has been kind of a little stab for me for a little while, is that, yes, absolutely, yeah. Mother's Day is pushed way more than Father's
Day.
Day.
I feel like half of the Father's Day commercials are like for dads and grads this weekend. Yeah, we're exactly. Like, we didn't even get our own weekend.
Exactly. Wait, women get that whole section. Like, there's like, it'll be like this long aisle. You got mothers, grandmothers, godmothers, aunts, you know, fate play mothers, all that. And then dads get like that one little section right here.
Yeah, yep, totally. Yeah, but I think the mothers would appreciate it more. Like, guys, for Father's Day, like, all we want to do is, hey, just leave us alone. Can we just go outside and, you know, bike ride, drink some coffee?
Just a little
piece of quiet. So who cares? I don't need all the bells and whistles. You know what I mean?
Well, the reason I ask is because, you know, Claire's a mom, right?
Yeah,
that's why I brought this up, because Pastor Clara is a mom, and she, it's weird, she had to preach on Sunday, so somebody must have said just get out there and work.
This is what's even weirder.
What's weirder?
Her husband,
yeah,
didn't do anything.
Wow,
just sat there and enjoyed the service.
Kind of a jerk.
We're living in a parallel universe.
She told me, I want to preach Mother's Day.
Yeah.
Did she say that, really?
Oh, yeah, yeah.
Oh, wow.
I actually knew that. I was just being a jerk.
She wanted to preach Mother's Day.
Big up for Claire.
Yeah.
So, that's awesome. Did you guys notice the miracle that happened on Mother's Day, though? Sanctuary, the clicker worked. You know, the preachers use when they preach, the clicker actually worked the whole time.
How that happened? Because it was supposed to be the same one.
Yeah. It was the same one, and it was the same one that's problematic.
There was a couple times where the slide went twice and she had to go back.
Oh.
So if you're saying it worked, as in like it made the slides move, yes. But there was a couple times where it skipped because she had to press it and it had to go back.
I think she just said that to make him feel better.
I saw him. I witnessed it.
I think
he was counting.
She clicked it twice. She clicked it twice just to make it. She went in with a plan. I'm going to click this twice. Listen, make Tom feel better.
I think the problem
is. It was actually Dave just timing it with her to do it at the same time on his end. She said the clicker, so it looked like it worked.
When you have a remote or a clicker in your hand and there's a TV in front of you,
right.
It's just Tom nature to point at the TV. instead of like this, I'm going to change it.
So you want to know the truth? The first time I preached with that clicker?
The
same thing happened. I had a lot of trouble.
So wait, like, you didn't tell him because you just enjoy seeing him sweat?
Of course. I do like, though, when Tom is preaching and the remote, quote-unquote, acts up,
yeah.
that he doesn't give up. So I'll be back there working the video, and he'll just... click, 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 click. All of a sudden, we're like on last week's sermon.
That's funny.
And I'm just like, Tom, just stop touching it. I will fix it. Stop touching it. He's like,
oh my goodness. That's funny.
I get so aggravated.
It's
funny because we went.
I might start clicking on the wrong one on purpose just so you think it is the remote.
Yeah.
And you just chuck it against the wall and just lose it one day.
We went to. And this is awful, but I'll say it.
Mm-hmm.
We went to district assembly, and Dr. Gustavo, who's our general superintendent of the district, of the whole Church of the Nazarene, was preaching, and he was having clicker malfunction.
Mm-hmm.
And I was like,
It happens to everybody.
Mm-hmm.
Although it does make you want to like change it out with like old batteries or something, right?
Mm-hmm.
So it just acts up more.
Mm-hmm.
Or just... start clicking on the wrong slides when I'm back there.
Or blame someone else.
Speaking of blaming somebody else, what do you think about Embiid? I don't want to go back to the Sixers too much, but he was asked what the problem was, and he said it wasn't me. It was everybody else.
You had 24. You combined with another guy for 24 points. I told you. I started in on Embiid in the beginning of that game. My son can attest to this because he was cracking up. I was a madman. When he's trotting up the court and they're already look like they're about to take off. And he's just trotting up the – it drove me nuts. And I love Joel Embiid. I don't want Joel Embiid to go anywhere. But for whatever – and maybe that's why I said maybe he was hurt. Maybe he had something going on. They were in Boston. Somebody spiked his I don't know what happened. But the body language was
game.
Just – oh, my God.
Somebody spiked his pizza.
So for me, it was two things. Don't understand why he just hangs out on the three-point line. I mean, the dude is one of the most dominant players in the paint. Or has a nice little 15-foot. You know. And the other thing that drives me crazy is when James Harden just uncontrollably goes into, he goes to drive to the basket and he goes like this.
And falls. Wait, and falls.
And then he looks
and
like.
Falls. I'm so over the James Harden experiment. Like, every I'm done with it.
I'm a Knicks fan, not even a Nets fan, and I couldn't stand him on the Nets.
Yeah.
That's how I was so tired of even New York sports talking about him. Yeah. I couldn't stand him.
Because I have no problem with you drawing fouls if you actually make an effort. I've always been someone that thought that their competition committee should clean that up, that whole drawing the fouls.
I hate the flopping thing. I really think, like, Lisa and I were talking about it all season watching these games. I'm like, when they flop to get a foul, I think they should go back after the game or whatever, even in real time. Yeah. They can change it in a minute or two later and say, nope, that wasn't a foul. He flopped. Give him the point. Like, there should be a penalty. I don't know if it should be monetary or point-wise or whatever. But
we need to see something.
Yeah, something. It's just, it's so annoying. Like, you watch football and, like, these guys, not that it's right, but these guys will run into a brick wall, get up, pretend they're not hurt, and get back in the game. And you watch basketball and it's like, somebody got close to their face, and they're going to pretend like they have a broken nose.
It's so annoying. Like those videos where you can watch, like, you can watch the guy, and it looked in real time like they got hurt or hit in the face or something. But then when you see the actual slow motion video, they're not. They never even make contact. It drives me nuts.
Let's be honest though, soccer's a lot worse. You ever watch a soccer game? A spill.
Yeah, never.
And those guys look like, you know, they just got broken in half. Really? They barely got touched. But I guess that's a part of the game to try to get them a yellow card and a red card and all that, but they get pretty over the top.
I really hate that, like, you watch kids play on the playground now and they do the same thing. Like, or kids play sports, you know, basketball or, like you said, soccer. Like, they start imitating it. Yeah. You know, it's like when I was younger, you'd watch kids play football and you hated them because they were acting like T.O. or something, like all showy. But now it's even worse because it's like they're acting like they're getting hurt when they're not. Like, just get in there and play.
Yeah,
that's something you didn't see in the Jordan era. It's just people, if I walk by Dave. Actually, a better example, right? Yeah. If I walk by LeBron, he just falls on the floor like you hit him.
Yeah, yeah.
Did you ever see the clips of his flops when, like, literally no one hits him and he just...
I agree with you. And that's the same type of stuff.
This isn't saying that he's a bad player. I'm just saying, like, these flops are just getting out of control.
Because it's part
everywhere.
Of the game. It's become part of the game.
It's become an acting
thing. They do it to let... Because you want the referee to see how people are defending you, right? Like, that it's supposed to alert. That's the reason why it started, because they wanted to exaggerate whatever happened so the referee would catch it, right? Because these referees, you got three guys on the court that are supposed to be watching 10 guys in, like, who are some of the best athletes in the world, so they're moving at breakneck speed. Like, so you want their eyes to be what's the word I'm looking for, Dave? Draw attention to your fit, to what's going on or what's happening. So that's the reason why it started, but then it got out of hand and got ridiculous because they started awarding what they thought happened instead of what actually happened. And that's the nutty part of, and I want that. I really want that out of the game because I want to see great basketball. You know what I mean? And I think with the skill level these guys have. It's insane. We have great basketball, but we still have all these actors and stuff. People that went to the Vlade Divac School of Basketball.
No, I think the 76ers, maybe next year, they pick up like one more piece, like Ja Morant or something like that, and I think they'll be fine.
Yeah, that would be great.
That's all they need is a little more drama.
A little more.
Speaking of poo in the bed, Brother Tom, is it true that you only use a certain quality of toilet paper?
Give me drama,
if it's too less of a quality, you don't have it. Because you're like,
how does this even get out into public knowledge?
What happened was in the church, just to give Zach, just to help you out, when Tom was applying for the job to be the lead pastor at Royers Ford, he actually went in. It was very weird. He said, I don't care about the salary. I don't care about the benefits package. The only thing I care about is the quality of toilet paper.
Listen.
So.
Wait.
We're in 2023.
It was weird.
Excuse the language, Lisa. I shouldn't have to be wiping and feeling like I'm wiping with paper.
That's not language.
I know, but it's disgusting.
I don't know why you guys use paper at all. Leaves. They're abundant. I get the shiny ones. The shiny ones are, I mean, some after effects, but.
Do you use wet wipes?
No, I use the shiny leaves, the ones that come in three.
No, okay, but do you use wet wipes?
I used to. Now, I mean, wow, we just took a deep dive here.
Yes, we did. TMI.
Yeah. Listen.
I don't use wet wipes, but I've thought about it.
Oh, all I'm God. Saying is the bidet changes everything.
Oh, my.
I can't.
Yeah, do you use those?
I just got one 2 weeks ago.
Did you really?
Yeah.
No,
yeah.
I don't know how I feel about like that. I'm curious.
$39 on Amazon, something like
really?
That.
Really?
Yeah, but here's my question.
Yes. What's your question that is appropriate for this podcast?
Well, we've gone right past the appropriate.
We did, yeah.
I was going to say, Lisa, do we edit the show? Is this live?
Yeah, right.
No, we're
I was like, this is my gone, first show. We're okay.
Right past yeah, right.
We're live.
Zach's right. first show.
Which really does beg the question, what is the church? See, yeah. How do you like that transition? Just kidding. We're not transitioning yet.
So, and I'm also like that. I need the quicker picker-upper.
Okay.
If it's not Bounty, don't buy it.
Oh, I thought he meant toilet paper. It's like, wow, you're in a hurry. Anyway.
For paper towel?
Paper towel, yeah.
Well, I can't the use Costco, any other brand but Bounty. Yeah.
The Costco version of Bounty is pretty good. I'm pretty sure it's made by Bounty. But so what, you want probably. Charmin?
I could use
they
Charmin.
They put four sheets on a roll. You just must be switching rolls like every
listen,
day.
I'm actually gotten better with the quality of toilet paper
you're
that
just
I
just like
use,
the bears on the
but
commercial.
But if I'm wiping... And it feels like I'm doing it with a piece of paper.
Sandpaper.
It's not going to work for me.
So if you're using top quality TP, you're doing only one square piece, right? Who was that celebrity back in the day that said, you know, for environmental reasons, you should only wear, like, take one piece at a time? And then Rosie O'Donnell went on the air and she's like, have you seen the size of my booty? Yeah, that was amazing. I think it was Sheryl Crow. So, I mean, if you're using that top quality, brother, I hope you're not, you know, using a massive handful.
So, since we're on the topic, right?
Yeah.
In my opinion, there's two ways, right? There's a way where you get the toilet paper, you fold, wipe, fold, wipe, or you just take a bunch of toilet paper and it's like a massive amount. And
yeah,
then,
so we used to play this game in church. Let's play it right now. It's called Crinkle or Fold.
Yeah,
crinkle. I crinkle. Fold. I crinkle. What do you do?
I crinkle.
Yeah, what, Zach?
No, crinkle.
Crinkle.
I fold.
Balled up.
Wow.
Yeah, I fold.
How do you have that much time?
I, dude, I listen. There's it got to be
that's
good.
Too sophisticated.
Good yeah, no. It's got to be good technique, man. Because I'm not. If my this is disgusting.
But yeah, but that first one hasn't. That
paper,
first.
I got
yeah,
a
that's
problem.
What I'm saying. So
I
the
got
first
major
one,
problem.
It's just like.
So what's hopes for?
It's really thin. The first one, the first wipe is really thin.
No, you got it. You got to fold. You got to fold. And see, I probably use too much toilet paper too. Like I'm
guilty of that.
Yeah,
I thought the reason for the fold is to save toilet paper.
Well, that doesn't happen.
Nobody told him.
Yet. Nobody told me that.
Nobody told him.
The reason for the fold is to make sure that you like the 2-ply isn't good enough for me. I need to make sure it's 2, 4, 6-ply, 8-ply, and my fingers are not going through that toilet paper. I'm not playing that game. That's not what I knew.
We should do
a whole
show.
And it's mine,
this.
And it's disgusting. So I'm not. You know,
we should do a whole show on this someday. Different cultures and what they think and why. They shake with their left hand instead of their right hand, all these things.
So when the water comes up.
Yes?
I'm just going to ask it because I'm really curious about it. And I apologize ahead of time if it's inappropriate.
It is. Let's do this.
And it hits.
Yep.
And it what if like the...
Hi, Mom. How you doing?
It, like it goes everywhere. When it hits like...
It's really amazing the way that it works, and the technology has been sorted out. You just need to trust that it's going to be there and it's going to work. You just need to trust the process.
So you don't need to like adjust or something when you sit down. It's just one size.
So do you use toilet paper after the water?
A little bit, yeah, a little bit.
To dry?
Yeah, yeah. How you doing, Mom? Hanging in there? My mom's going to be listening to this like, oh.
Oh, Dave, I really respect a bodet because that's a big thing in Europe. Why do us Americans are like too uptight or think we're too good to use a bodet? What's up with that?
It's funny that we, in our self-righteousness, we make fun of them while they have a better process, a more environmentally efficient process, and a better, cleaner process. And we still make fun of them for using it. So, you know, only American self-righteousness can do that. And I know because I used to make fun of them myself.
No.
You really do have one?
Yeah. You can't try it.
All
right, maybe
you
can try it. I might have one at work, too.
I respect that.
Okay. I need to ask some advice before we go to topic.
Okay.
Last thing.
There's like 20 million questions I still want to ask. Well, we can ask after
we'll,
the show.
We'll talk after the show. Yeah. Chris, it's just going to be easier for let him come over the house. Right?
Yeah, yeah. You're definitely. We're going to have to have a production meeting. Yes.
Yeah,
yeah. Tom can come over.
No, he's just going to knock on the door one day.
Lisa's like, no!
He's just going to knock on the door one day at like 8:30 in the morning with like a newspaper under one arm.
Yeah. Like, oh,
wait, I can totally see it though, because Tom
there's going to be no words. No words are going to be spoken. I'm just going to open the door and just go, all right, come in.
Wait, you have to do it in a robe and bunny slippers.
Yes. Saturday morning, like, I'm outside cutting the grass, and Tom just shows up, empty cup of coffee, newspaper under one arm, robe, bunny slippers, because this needs to happen. And at that point, I'm going to be so tired of answering the questions that I'm just going to be like, yeah, just do what you got to do, bro.
It's in there.
I'm going to find out that he misplaced, like, he thought it was the shower.
Wait, though, what do you do when you go into the bathroom and there's water everywhere?
He thought it was a water fountain.
I don't want to, we'll wait till.
Oh, my God. Okay. Oh, wait. Oh.
All right. Zach, you're from the area, right?
Correct. Spring City.
You an Eagles fan?
Yes.
Okay. So I got three of them right here in front of me. Mm-hmm. I'm in a weird place, and I need some advice. I brought it up a couple of times, but I'm really struggling with this one. The Jets, for the first time in a long time, have really high expectations.
Mm-hmm.
I'm uncomfortable with this.
Mm-hmm.
I am so used to going into the Jets season going, 500 be great. Like, I just hope they're competitive games. I just hope we're in it at the third quarter. Like, I hope in October we're still playing for something.
Mm-hmm.
And now everybody's like 12-4. We got Aaron Rodgers. We got a bunch of weapons. We got a great defense. Let's go win the Super Bowl.
Enjoy the ride.
I don't. How am I supposed to go into
don't
this
have
season?
Like,
I feel like the best way to do it is to not have the expectations, exactly. Right? Because you guys have expectations all the time. Your teams are always good.
Yep.
If I go in with no expectations, I'm always happy at the end of the season, even if they didn't make the playoffs. It was a good season, whatever. They win 3-4 games. Yeah. Not, you know, I'm upset about it, but if you don't expect a whole lot.
When was the last time the Jets won anything?
They're in sports, they are have the longest playoff drought.
Yeah.
In all of sports, no, not dude, the NFL.
You got to enjoy that ride. You just got to
They won a playoff game, I think I'd be happy.
Yeah, exactly. Enjoy the ride.
But I also don't want to be the guy, if they do make the Super Bowl, who's like, well, I wasn't expecting them to do anything, but now, you know.
Wait, the drought is never making the playoffs?
No, it's not the longest drought. It's been almost 20 years since they made the playoffs.
Yeah. Longest drought of any professional team.
21.
Yeah.
201 years.
She's got a microphone. She won't use it. Come on. Come on. Come on. Come on. 2010 was the last time, which would have been with Sanchez. Yeah, Sanchez and the best coach ever. What's his name? Rex Ryan.
Yeah.
Foot fetish Rex Ryan. Yeah.
Well, Dave, the year I had the highest expectations was, what was it, 2001, 2002, when we lost the NFC Championship against Tampa Bay.
Mm-hmm.
When Rondé Barber picked off that ball. And you can hear a pin drop in Veterans Stadium. I was devastated. I was on the floor. I could not believe it.
So
we should have won that year.
But you did have high expectations going into that.
Very much so.
Okay, so because last year I saw what happened to Tom and Elijah in my house, because all year – and granted, Tom did say, I don't think we're going to win the Super Bowl. But all year it was blowout win over blowout win. And you see the Super Bowl, they're just so deflated.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I don't know. I don't even know how I'd handle that situation. But –
well, you're going to be right there if the Jets do
but
something
if I
like that. That's a totally different
thing.
Situation.
If I start trash talking.
You're talking about the Super Bowl, right?
Yes.
So you're talking about the Super Bowl.
Yeah.
Like, if you get to the Super Bowl and you don't win, you're going to be insane. But I'm not talking about – I'm talking about enjoying the ride
just this season.
From preseason to playoffs. And then whatever happens in the playoffs is gravy. And then if you lose that Super Bowl, it's nothing. I mean, it's – because at that point, it's like, wow, this is our shot.
We got a shot.
All right. You know what I mean? So just enjoy the ride.
But I definitely, as a Jets fan, especially out of market, I can't. Mm-hmm. There's no room for trash talk. Mm-hmm. I can't do that.
Mm-hmm. Nah.
because if they lose, you know, in the playoffs or whatever, we're done.
And really, I'm at the point now to where it's not going to ruin my whole week. when the Eagles lose a game. Me I mean, that used to be like how it was, and you how our family that, was. It's like it was such a bummer. And even as much as I was bummed out that the Eagles didn't win the Super Bowl, it was such a beautiful day that day. I think that wasn't that resource day or day we had, and I spent just watching me and my dad. You know what I mean? Because now I realize more than ever, it's not really about what you're doing; it's why you're doing it and who you're doing it with. Yeah. And that's really the special part.
One of the things sports, that the pandemic did for me, speaking of that, is.
What's up, Shane?
2019 was the last year that that happened to me because I was the same way, man. If we would lose a game, and I was just telling him about this on Thursday, what if we would lose a game, I would carry it to like Thursday. Mm-hmm. And the only reason I get out of it Thursday is because then I start getting excited for the game.
There's another one coming. Absolutely.
There's another one. But it would literally ruin my whole thing. Mm-hmm. And then 2020 happened when the season was like, you know. And then I didn't watch 2021 at all. Mm-hmm. And I said, I am never going to be that guy again where I put sports in front of the family. Mm-hmm. And then Mother's Day happens when the Sixers are playing the Celtics on Game 7.
How long did that hurt for?
So I told my wife, I said, we got a problem.
At least they got blown out, though.
Well, at least I knew they were losing, so I went to dinner.
Correct.
Because she gave me the permission to stay home and watch the game.
I would almost, like, lose by 30 points. Yeah, it's over.
She's like, you're going? I'm like, yeah, we're not going to win this game. Let's go to dinner.
The Knicks lost on Friday night, and it was, like, trailing 5 points the entire game. But I still knew that was over. They had no – there was one guy
playing. But are you – see, here's the difference. Are you upset at what you saw? Like, and when I say upset, I mean, like, you...
From the Knicks on Friday?
Yeah.
Yeah, because only one guy showed up. And he kept the game within 4 points.
But it was still not, like...
No,
like, and I said this, and I'm going to say that. Let me say this. Mm-hmm. I don't think... I think Philadelphia fans are going to be upset when they get knocked out of the playoffs.
They get upset when they see Santa.
Yeah, we're going to be upset about it. But the outrage is becoming from the way we lost.
Right.
That's the outrage. Like, you're not outraged.
No, because ultimately, they played a super hot team. They lost in six.
Yeah.
It was the second round of the playoffs. It's the Knicks. They don't have a superstar.
Yeah.
You know, nobody expected anything from them. They went pretty far.
And they were in it. And it's not even – they were in it. And it's not even just game seven.
I was more upset about games one and two or one and three than I was how they – I mean, they finished strong.
Yeah, so it's the outrage. It's the outrage.
They should have beat them.
Yeah, they absolutely – it's the outrage.
Yeah, we'll see.
And what did I tell you, two, 3 weeks ago when you guys asked me about Boston? Remember? No. You don't remember? I told you I don't fear Boston. I'm not scared of Boston. You remember that? And I said – who's going to stop Embiid? But what I should have said is it depends on which Embiid we get. It depends on,
I'm going to stick to we can have the greatest team in the NBA and the Celtics can have the worst team in the NBA.
Yeah, you guys have a problem with Boston.
The Celtics win. I'm going to stick to that. We can't beat Boston.
Maybe you guys should have played Miami. We should have played Boston.
That would have been cool.
Because we don't have a problem with Boston. We have a problem with Miami.
I don't know what it is. Seriously, I don't know what it is with Boston. We can't beat them.
Yeah,
I still can't believe it's been since 2001 since we've been past the second round.
Yeah,
I can't believe that statistic. No. I remember year with Allen Iverson here. Yeah. I was in every game. Yeah. Wasn't that a special year?
Yeah,
that
was. Allen Iverson, I watched every game.
Get out of his way, and just everyone else played defense and played around him. That was amazing.
But that's where that comes from with Philadelphia. If that had been a 1 or 2 point loss, Philly would still be standing up for this team and saying, okay, well, you know, just we'll see you next year. But it's not that we lost. It's how we lost that's got everybody. So I know it's what got me up, you know, so riled up.
Changed course here a little bit. Did you know Pastor Tom's getting married on Sunday?
Is he getting married or is he marrying somebody?
I heard he was married. Is it the same thing? Is that not the same thing? Have I misunderstood this denomination?
I thought no, I am getting married.
Oh, I just thought it was like really close to the Mormon church. I never read the manual. Yeah. I just thought you were marrying another person. Because that's why I figured you say my wife Claire. Because is she your only wife?
She's my only wife.
Oh, yeah. So you're marrying somebody else. What are you doing on Sunday?
Church.
And then you're going.
And then I'm going to go marry my nephew and his fiance.
This is so weird.
Yeah.
He's marrying, not getting married.
I really got to read this manual.
Okay, I don't know where Dave was going with that because he totally psyched my mind just now.
I thought you were getting married.
These Nazarenes.
You said you were marrying somebody on Sunday. I didn't understand what was going on.
That'll be my first wedding under the Nazarene denomination.
Don't screw it up.
So
Awesome.
Well, that's why I'm doing it outside of the church.
Okay, good.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So it's not witnessed.
Yeah, definitely.
Small.
What?
Private.
In your mind, what would be screwing it up? Like, what are you afraid of?
Nothing.
Yeah, you can't. You're afraid of nothing?
No.
Are you, like, writing something? Are you reading something? Are you reading something that somebody else wrote? Are you reading something from the manual? What are you doing?
So those are good questions. And maybe the manual does have something.
Yeah, you should.
But no, read that. I'm literally gonna say a couple words. They want it real short, 15 minutes top.
Yeah.
So I'm gonna do a small devotional, and then
short, man. Like, I don't know if short. I really respect the short wedding. Maybe it's just because I'm old and crotchety.
Yeah.
But I really respect this.
No, he told me. He said, my nephew, I'm like, so, you know, how long? 20, 15 minutes tops.
Yeah. Like beginning to end.
Yeah, beginning to end. Yeah. So, you know.
So what's the likelihood of you going
but
over?
But they're not writing their own vows, so I'll be reading that from somebody else that wrote them.
Oh, that is true.
I wrote my own. Did you write your own vows?
No.
We wrote our own vows.
No.
I actually wrapped my vows to my wife.
Is this on video somewhere?
It's on video.
We got to find the video.
It's on video. I wrapped my vows to my wife.
I did this.
We should do that. Just put it on the air, and we'll just do commentary on this.
That's going to be episode 133.
Yes. It's just definitely.
Yeah. I'm getting married.
Yeah, we need that.
Yeah.
Okay, so.
You should have seen her face.
Are you worried about mispronouncing anything? Are you worried about mispronouncing their names?
No.
Sure?
Yeah.
Okay. I would. You should be very worried about that.
Yeah.
Do you know their names?
Yes.
Are they hard to pronounce?
Well, I'll be honest. I can't remember her name off the top of my head right now.
Just,
but his name's Steven. Just Mom, what's her name?
Just go with it. Just whatever you feel. Just say whatever. If I could give you one piece of advice, just don't overthink it. Just go with whatever you feel her name is. Just on the day. If you think it's Susie, it'll be Susie. Just say it.
You are going to jam him up. He won!
Just go with the spirit.
We're here to witness the marriage of Stephen and what's your name?
Dave told me.
Wait, Victoria.
Victoria.
I would have never guessed that.
You don't look like a Victoria. Just spend like 10 minutes on what you think her name should
Victoria.
Be.
Victoria. Oh,
wow. All right. Transition write that down.
Thanks, Ma. Ma, you should have a sign at the wedding.
Yeah, Victoria. But it's pronounced differently, and you screw that up.
Victoria.
Yeah. Victoria.
All right. You got a Bible verse or something before we crash this thing into a brick wall?
Well, and let us consider how we may spur one another. Wait.
See, this is what's going to happen at the wedding.
It's first and last.
I'm getting new glasses. They're not in yet, so that's all.
Are they going to be in by Sunday?
That's a good question.
That's a real good question.
Look, he's thinking.
Do these work? Give it a try.
Just maybe wear two pairs. Just wear two pairs. Let's try again.
And let us consider how we may spur one another on toward love and good deeds, not giving up meeting together, as some are in the habit of doing, but encouraging one another, and all the more as you see the day approaching. Hebrews 10:24-25. So today we're going to talk about church. What is church? What's church to us? Is church the building? Why do we come to church? And the importance of fellowship, because that's a big ingredient in the whole church thing, of hanging out with fellow Christians and fellowshipping with them, having them hold you accountable.
Yep.
Which is kind of what we do here. So it's this church, right? So what are your thoughts? What is church?
I think there is growing up, you hear people say, well, I don't really need to go to a building to have church. And the older I get, I kind of believe that that's more of a cop-out. You know, it's just people who don't want to go to church, right? But I also believe that it's true. Like, you don't need to go to a building to have church. But it is time spent in fellowship with other Christians about spiritual things. Because we can all hang out and watch football, you know, which we should do, would be a lot of fun, not church. You know, so like, you know, actually interesting, I've had some really interesting church meetings lately with Tom on Thursday mornings. That's church. Mm-hmm, mm-hmm, you know, with mm-hmm. with Zach and Matt. Mm-hmm. That's church. We had some church moments on our bike ride, mm-hmm. you know, out in the woods. We had some church moments. Mm-hmm. But I think it's, you know, definitely there's – when people say like, oh, I don't really belong to a church because I don't believe, yada, 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 yada. You need to find a fellowship of believers to be with, to understand the word, to talk back and forth, to help each other. We all need people
– to energize you.
In our life to energize us. And we all the only other thing I wanted to say about it is like we all need to be open and honest to be part of a church. Mm-hmm. Like, you know, a lot of the churches I've been in my life and the churches I've been around in my life, like everybody acted like they were super polished mm-hmm. and there was no issues. And all that is a room of self-righteous people. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. And when you don't act like there's anything ever wrong, mm-hmm. you can never help anybody with your experiences. Mm-hmm. And all you end up doing is being a group of people that judge each other.
Yeah.
So, yeah. you know, and the brokenness, I really believe, is what brings us together to be able to work together. I think that's kind of why God wants us together, mm-hmm. is to be able to share our brokenness and our things that aren't perfect and the things we've overcome and the things we're challenging so that we can challenge each other as iron sharpens iron.
Yeah. I like that phrase, iron sharpens iron, because I don't want to say it's necessarily just our brokenness, but because I also believe that things happen to you for a reason, and to be able to share those things makes other people better. Like, that's why I always say your testimony. I'm a talker, and I always say your testimony is not your own. It's not for you.
Yeah,
it's to help other people be, you know, be better, be stronger, be whatever they need to be in that moment. And you literally will never know who you're helping and when if you share a little piece of yourself and who you are in whatever is appropriate in that moment. So I love that phrase, iron sharpens iron, because I think that that's a good another good point or definition of what church is.
That's one of my favorite verses, is that one right there, because that's what we do when we're with each other. Mm-hmm. But, you know, it's interesting because some people say, I love Jesus, mm-hmm. but I don't like the church.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Right?
Yeah.
And a lot of the 21st century churches are mm-hmm. like that, mm-hmm. where, oh, I love Jesus, mm-hmm. but I don't like the church.
I've been in that situation.
And let me mm-hmm. tell you, there is no spiritual growth mm-hmm. without community. Mm-hmm. Right, there is none, mm-hmm. and one of the last things I said yesterday after my mm-hmm. wife's sermon mm-hmm. was that 2 years from now I don't want to be the same person that I am today.
Yeah, we don't want you to be that
right?
person.
Right, and so I thought you were going to talk about that.
We had to talk about your dentist appointment too
and all that stuff. But you know, even you know, let's take it back to the beginning of times mm-hmm. when Adam mm-hmm. was alone mm-hmm. and God saw that wasn't good. Mm-hmm. He needed somebody else. Mm-hmm. Right, so from the beginning, mm-hmm. it's been community. And mm-hmm. one of the things that I learned this book, you guys, this book is life changing. Mm-hmm. It really is. But in this book, there's a line that says, "Our growth towards wholeness in Christ is for the sake of others within the body of Christ, that we might nurture one another into the wholeness of Christ. Our growth toward wholeness is also for the sake of others beyond the body of Christ, and the redeeming, healing, transforming love of God may be known in a broken and hurting world." Mm-hmm. Right? So it's interesting because they also go into how God models community within the relationship of God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit. Mm-hmm. Within them three right now, right there, he models community mm-hmm. and the way they interact with mm-hmm. each other, mm-hmm. right? Mm-hmm. So church is so important, mm-hmm. you know, for you to be part of, mm-hmm. you know. Now, you know, coming to church, yeah, that's one thing, but Dave touched on something else that's really important. Church is out there too,
yeah.
right? Yep. Church is out there when two or more are gathered, right?
Yeah, I'll be, yeah.
So it is so important. The verse that says about I am the vine, you are the branches,
mm-hmm.
right? And the mm-hmm. growth that occurs, mm-hmm. there is no growth in there if there's no community.
If we're not allowing him to prune us.
Right. You can't have a relationship without having relationships with the other. One of the, mm-hmm. one of the best ways for us to work on a relationship with Jesus Christ is by working on our relationships with other people.
Yeah, I agree. I had this same conversation maybe a week ago with somebody close to me, and they said what you said, Tom. They love, and honestly, I thought before I had talked to them, and this person has been in my life almost my entire life, and I thought they were an atheist. They don't know that, but I thought they were an atheist, right? But it's not. They they are very similar to where I'm at in my life, meaning God is in control of our lives, but they have a problem with the institution of church. And so that individual does not, like he asked me, it's funny that we're talking about this today, because he asked me that question, and my response to him, and I brought this up once before, I think with you, Tom, I love when we went to the movies, our whole church went to the movies, and we walk into the movie, and my son just takes off, and it's like being at a barbecue. Right. Yeah. And that's what church is. That's another bullet point of what church means to me. It's a family. You know, we have all different kinds of people, but I feel safe. I feel comfortable. I can, to your point, work on myself. You know, I have people who, you know, are going through things that I'm going through, or I have, you know, somebody that I want to be a big brother to, or, you know, somebody I can look up and find a big brother, you know, whatever, you know what I mean? Whatever the relationship is. And that to me is family. And I told the person I was talking to that church, he had a problem with the institution of church, but I said, it's more than that. It's the relationships. It's the,
right.
the yep. connection. And you need to find some place that has that relationship and has that connection. And then you can feel safe with exploring these other ideas that you have and learning more about the God that you serve.
See, that's part of the community, though. So we try to find this church of people mm-hmm. that we get along with,
mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
right?
Mm-hmm.
That's the easy part.
Mm-hmm.
That's not really working on anything.
Mm-hmm.
It's finding the people that are broken mm-hmm. or that even possibly hurt you
mm-hmm.
and you're still able to have a relationship with them,
mm-hmm.
right? I mean, let's not forget the greatest commandment
mm-hmm.
ever,
mm-hmm.
right, that was asked is
mm-hmm.
love the Lord God with all your mind, your heart, and your soul.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
But love thy neighbor,
mm-hmm. right?
Right?
Absolutely.
Which is the hard part
yeah,
sometimes.
Yeah, yeah.
And so a lot of people that experience this whole thing with church, and there's church hurt.
Mm-hmm.
I'm not trying to eliminate church hurt. Mm-hmm. It's a real thing.
Mm-hmm.
It's a real thing.
It's real.
And
mm-hmm.
it's hurtful.
Mm-hmm.
And it's hurtful because mm-hmm. you think these are the people that are supposed to be like.
Yeah, that's
and
why
I even
it's
had a
so
sermon
hurtful.
On this when I said sometimes we're the cross that other people mm-hmm. have to bear.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Yep.
Mm-hmm.
You know? But it's important to know that finding the people that are exactly like you, that like the same things as you, that you're comfortable around with. It's not really what the Bible's yeah. talking about.
No, but that's...
I think that's why the church gets a bad rap, because when people that really don't know Jesus and aren't reading the Bible, aren't into the Word, they see these bad things that happening, and they look at that and say, oh, see, Christian going to church is no good. But things that are happening to them are happening by people, Christians or non-Christians alike. That isn't Jesus, that's our human fallen nature, you know, coming
mm-hmm.
out, and
mm-hmm.
things are going to happen.
Mm-hmm.
But bottom line is, Jesus will always be there and will always restore, no matter mm-hmm. what. We're still humans. We're going to make mistakes. And I think people just look at situations that happen, and they're bad situations that happen mm-hmm. to people by mm-hmm. other Christians, and they look like, see, I don't want to have anything mm-hmm. to deal with that, and that's just unfair,
mm-hmm.
you know, and it's unfortunate, but that's the reality of the situation.
Yeah. And I want to respond to what you said in this way, too, because that conversation that I had with that individual, and I like again, I've known them most of my life, and we've never had that conversation before. And some things happened recently that kind of brought us together. And when I say a place where you feel comfortable or a place where you can work on, you can't do that if you're always got your guard up. If I didn't feel comfortable here, I couldn't grow, right? That doesn't mean that I'm not going to love the next person next to me, or that you have to find a place where you feel comfortable enough to question yourself. And you can't do that when your guard is always up, because you've got to tear down. Part of the problem that a lot of people have is those barriers. You can't you can't tear those barriers down if you're still trying to protect yourself.
Exactly. And that's what I was talking about with the polished, like the people who mm-hmm. act like they're polished and whatever, mm-hmm. and they don't want to be around mm-hmm. a group to mm-hmm. get to actually know them, because you have to deconstruct.
Yep.
Mm-hmm. I know it's a really scary word in evangelicalism mm-hmm. today,
mm-hmm.
but you have to deconstruct yourself. You got to bring mm-hmm. that guard down
yep.
so that you can grow. You
yep.
have to just like you have to break up ground before
yeah.
grass can
yeah.
grow. You need
yeah.
to break that shell
yeah.
down.
Yeah.
And it's nothing, you know, mega church scary, you know, whatever. It's not a, we're trying to find your bank account information, nothing like that. You just got to, you know, you just have to be open to other people and allow them to be, you know, we're all in a group of people who are all broken following Christ together.
And what you were saying, you know, it's got a lot of truth to it, but there's two sides of it, right? So, so Claire, my wife, for about 6 years, we were looking for a church, right? We were looking for a church, trying to find what you're talking about, a place where we can grow, right? So that's one part of it. And there's a thin line between this and what I'm about to say now. But then you have the part where people will leave the church to find their perfect church when there is no perfect church.
And then you start – that's when you see people do the what we called in the 90s church hopping.
Yep.
Yeah. Which is, you know, I think you would go to a church for 3 weeks, 6 weeks, 3 months until one of a few things happened. One, you became vulnerable and you didn't like it and you left. Mm-hmm. Or two, somebody would say something that was offensive to you and you'd leave. Mm-hmm. Which is – I love this because we end up – Tom is so right that you end up in a place where you have to accept that there's people that are different than you. Mm-hmm. People are going to hurt you. Mm-hmm. It sucks. Mm-hmm. But I have also seen some relationships healed that I never thought would be healed in the church. Some people who are diametrically opposed to each other who come together and worked for a common good. And it's like, that doesn't even make sense. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. You know, you wouldn't see that anywhere else in the world, but you see it in church.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. That keywords there, common good.
Mm-hmm. Yeah,
mm-hmm. You know,
and where else do you see, you know, somebody who's got $1 million in the bank sitting next to somebody who's homeless, you know, and not in every church either, but in a good church, you see that, you know, in a good church, you'll see people that they don't care about class, they don't care about status, they don't care about, you know, job status, anything, young, old, like we're united by Christ. Mm-hmm. We're not. This isn't a bake club or a book club or. You know, we're united by the love of Christ. Mm-hmm. At least we should be. Mm-hmm. You know, and I think we see some churches, especially some of the bigger corporate type churches who are united around a political figure or united around, you know, something else. And it's like, that's not – it's like when the vine gets cut off and it just withers and dies, I think that's cutting itself off. Like, we need to be surrounding Christ.
Yeah, yeah, and I think that's the key term that we're getting here is the common good, because that when I say comfort, that's what I'm talking about, a place where you know you can have different ideas and you know somebody said diametrically opposed ideas, but it's okay, you know what I mean? Like this is we need to have that. We talked about what makes leaders. Leaders are people who can tell you the truth. You know what I mean? And the truth isn't always easy to hear. Some people have said some things to me that was probably very, very true, but I didn't want to hear it. And I really didn't want to, like to my detriment, didn't want to hear it. Mm. But it probably made me and made those, you know, the relationships that it was about probably made those things better. So when I say comfort, I'm talking more about a place where it's okay to have that. You know what I mean? Like some people aren't comfortable sitting next to someone so different from them or, you know, whether they're rich, poor, black, white, whatever it is. But the environment, at least this is what it was to me. I was looking for an environment where that was okay. You know what I mean? Where it was a nice, that mixture was there. And we have that. I think we have that here. We absolutely have that here.
Because all three of you are within the last. Chris, how long have you been coming to this church?
How long have I been coming? Or how long have you been a part?
How long have you been in the influence sphere of this church?
Probably somewhere. Yeah, somewhere in that neighborhood. Four, and Zach's five years,
almost
yeah.
two?
Yeah, a couple like years, somewhere. And I started coming regularly.
And Tom is getting old at this point, like five,
end
six?
End of 2019.
Okay. So what – and so you're all super qualified to answer the last question I had is – what attracted – like I love our church. Our church is not perfect. Mm-hmm. You know, if it was perfect, we'd be in heaven. Mm-hmm. Our church is definitely not perfect. Yeah. But why are you guys here? Like what's – yeah, Tom, finish your story.
So it's interesting with me because the answer is the Holy Spirit. Mm-hmm. Because so my story real quick is, we were looking for a church. We found out about Breaking Bread that they do every Friday. We have Illumination. Mm-hmm. My wife reached out. She brought clothes during Breaking Bread. Met Pete. Came home. Said, I found a church that I want to try. I like the pastor. I said, you go. If you like it, I'll go.
That totally now, let's
get
like
to
Tom.
Now let's get to my experience. So she came home. She said, loved it. I'm like, all right, I'll go next Sunday. The following Sunday, I walked into this building. And the second I walked into this building, I looked around. And right there, I was like, this is my church. Before I spoke to anybody, before anybody came up to me, before I experienced the worship that they do, before I experienced the ministries that are in the church, before I'm starting to get goosebumps. As soon as I walked in this building, the Lord said, this is your home.
Yeah. And similar story.
I've been coming ever since.
I think I was standing inside the door. That's why.
Yeah.
And to what he said, one of the first things Pete said to me was, you and Dave are not going to get along.
Well, we don't.
Iron sharpens iron.
Honestly, Tom and I do not get along, but we both mutually detest Pete. So once he said that to me, that you're not going to like Tom, and he said to Tom, you're not going to get along with Dave, we're just like, listen, let's, you know, no matter what, we just have to keep this facade up. So we've been doing pretty good for a few years now.
You know, and it's interesting because one of the lines in my lectures is, Christians are not brought together because they like each other, but because they share a common life in Jesus.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Amen. So, no, I had a very
Zach actually
similar.
Recently, you got saved.
Yes.
Not too long ago.
Yeah, last summer. Yeah. I finally just, after the last couple of years, I mean, when I first met Tom and Claire, you know, I was in a really bad spot, you know, coming off in 2019, I just got divorced and I was an alcoholic. I was in a really bad spot. And in 2020, ever since 2020, I've been sober. Mm-hmm. All glory to God. Thank you. Yeah. Praise God. And then I met Tom and Claire, started getting involved with Illumination Community Outreach, still involved. Mm-hmm. And actually the first time I walked in the church was actually for a Zumba class. And I had a similar feeling. As soon as I walked in, something just felt right. You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. It's like, and it was pretty obvious over the last couple of years that God wanted me to be here. Yeah. I was getting involved with a lot of different things in the church. And then finally in 2022, I was sitting there at a service and I was like, all right, you know, please, Lord, just take over. You know, I give up. I surrender my life to you. And I can just feel, you know, Him changing my heart every single day. And it's just amazing, man. I'm just so blessed and so thankful because He was so patient with me for so long. I definitely am an example of His mercy and grace. Yeah. So I thank the Lord for that. And I'm just excited to see what He's got for me from here until we see each other again. Mm-hmm. And God bless you guys. Thank you, Tom. And Tom and Claire have been such a influence on me. They've been such great leaders. Mm-hmm. And I can't tell you, I'm eternally grateful for you guys. Thank you.
You know, it's great because we met Zach through Illumination, you know, and then later to find out that he comes to our church for Zumba, right? But Zach was one of them people that when I met him, he had the fruits of a Christian.
Right.
Right? He had the fruits. And I was like,
what do you mean by that?
He was just that person that.
Humble. He loved other people.
You know,
people.
He said he talks to everybody. Mm-hmm. He was like that before he was a Christian.
Okay.
Right?
Okay. Yep.
And he was just humble, loves people, did this. And I used to always tell my wife, I'm like, I don't know what his story is. You know, I don't know. And I remember calling him one day. Remember this conversation? And I said, Zach, I gotta talk to you, brother. I love you, and you're just such a great guy. What are you a Christian? Are you a believer? And I don't know what the exact words, but the words were something like, "No, I'm not into the religion thing or whatever." You know, and I'm like, okay. And then me and my wife just kept praying. We're like, you know, let's just pray for him and just love him, you know, and. Yeah, him coming to Christ, man, was just awesome.
Wow.
Just awesome.
Yeah, because I mean, over the last couple of years, because, you know, since 2020, like, things were going good. You know, I got sober. I lost 100 pounds. You know, things were going great, but something was missing, you know. And then I started thinking about God. I always knew that, you know, God was there, but I didn't know what in form. You know, I'd be there on, you know, my Thursday night duty for Illumination. I'd be reading about all other forms of, like, you know, reading about Buddhism and all the New Age stuff. And then I'm like, I'm into the church. So that was funny. Like, I was thinking about God. But then, you know, finally, I remember Tony, the professor, you know, he invited me to a Bible study class. And then a week later, a couple weeks later, like, he gave me a study Bible, and I always started breaking down crying. I was just so appreciative of it. And going back to, you know, what church is for me, as far as being at the church, is just being a baby Christian, is just learning more. And I just love the sermons. That's like my favorite part, because, you know, sometimes reading isn't my specialty. So actually, you know, listening to the Word of God and let Him speak to me every single day and getting out of it what He, you know, wants me to get out of it is, you know, the biggest part of when I want to come to church, because I'm trying to soak in information.
That day,
so I got to learn a lot.
I was so happy that day that I bought you that Bible, because it wasn't like, oh man, that's cool, thank you. I could just see, I mean, your tears started coming down, and you were, the guy still keeps the Bible in the box. he uses it, he reads it every day, but he just, he knows how important it is, so he doesn't want anything to happen.
Yeah, look, it's a miracle. It's one of the miracles. Yeah. One of the miracles. I'm sitting here, and I'm listening to you, and I'm so encouraged listening to you, because I'm seeing, that's another, I truly believe that's another one of those miracles. You touched on something. I'm kind of losing my train of thought a little bit, but you were talking about that feeling you had. It's amazing to me that you were serving God before God had brought you, you know, and sat you down on His knee and said, "Hey, you know, this is My word." You were already, you know, in service, and I think that's amazing. That's a testament to the Holy Spirit. You know, we talk, and it's just a beautiful thing, man. God bless. Yeah, amen. God bless.
Yep, miracles happen.
Yeah.
Tom ate a salad today. I walked into the room and Tom was eating a salad, and I was like, I'm reminded that there are miracles that you see every single day. That being said, if you're not part of a church, you need to find a group of believers, because I believe that's what God intended us to be among each other.
Yeah, absolutely.
And sometimes, I'm not telling you to walk into a toxic situation, but sometimes, you know, God will keep you in a place. Like Lisa and I were in this church when there was a lot of toxic stuff going on. We were praying for God to move us on, to bring another congregation, and He wouldn't do it. And now you look back and you go, wow, I'm really glad we stuck it out. But, you know, sometimes as you preach, you know, you can be – say it again. You can be the cross that somebody else has to bear.
Yep. Sometimes you are the cross that somebody else has to bear.
Yeah. Opposite of that, sometimes you're the church that God needs somewhere. Yeah. You know, I'm not telling you to stay in a bad situation, but make sure you're bringing Jesus to church.
Yeah.
You know, make sure you're trying to reach out to other people and you're not just going through the motion, because that's what you did when you were a kid. That's not church. You know, just a habit is not church. Going somewhere because it's Sunday at 9 o'clock is not church.
Yep.
You know, and that's why I've been so happy with the leadership that we've had over the last like decade at this church. Mm-hmm. You know, from Larry Powell to Peter Clark, Tom Rivera, and his wife. But they do a great job.
Going back to Pete. Yeah, when I first met him, he had such a welcoming environment coming in here too, that we're added to it. And you know, he said something that was really special too, is that, you know, the Church of the Nazarene is such a great community hub. Mm-hmm. You know, they could do basketball with the guys, they do other things that they're not exactly, you know, they're not shoving the Bible down your throat, but it's giving an opportunity to show like who Jesus is through us, and then eventually, you know, hopefully they'll come around. But the fact of the matter is, it's just this environment is just so welcoming and loving, and you can see the love of Jesus through everyone here, and it's just an amazing thing. And it did work a miracle for sure, and it will continue.
I'll say the same thing. Yeah. Big shout out to Pete, because I know my wife brought us here, and other than Elijah telling me he knew this guy named Pete that I had to come here, my wife would say the same thing, and she said his something different about his spirit. And I actually said this to him and you. Remember, we were talking about it. You have the same thing in you. There's something different about you. But there was definitely something different about Pete, and he drew us in. We'll talk another time about certain regrets and things, but one of the regrets I have is that I was kind of a, you know, every, you know, couple of month face or something like that, because I didn't have that place where I felt comfortable and felt like I could come to church, that wanted me to, you know, felt like a family, felt like a place that I wanted to be at. And I didn't come with my wife as much as I wished. But when my wife passed away, and I was probably at my lowest point at any time of my life, I think between my community and my church, rookie mistake, between my community and my church, I don't know if I would have made it. I genuinely don't. And that's family. It's a place, that's what it is. That my definition and what brought me here is it feels like family.
Yeah, for sure. Let's pray.
Yep.
Father, Lord, I'm just speechless right now at what you're doing in this church, what you're doing with the brothers that are sitting around me right now. And we do it because we want to build your kingdom. We do it because of you. Just like the lesson that I'm in this week, it's not about liking and not liking. It's about us having the common faith of loving you and building your kingdom, Father. And that's the reason that we do this show. It's for the fellowship, for the church on Tuesday nights. But overall, it's just because we love you so much.
Amen.
Lord, there's so many people that are sick right now. Mm-hmm. And we just pray for them. My mom, my sister, mm-hmm. Mike Morlando, yeah. Lord, be with him, Lord, as he's literally been in the hospital now for over 3 months. Mm. And he wants to get back to the church. He tells me all the time he wants to get back to the church. He wants to play the drums at the church. Mm-hmm. And just heal him, Lord. Heal him.
Yes, Father.
Completely
amen.
Heal him. And have him come back and tell his story.
Yes, Father.
Tell his story how all he did on his alone time is read the Bible.
Yes.
And it's such a beautiful thing because in a hospital, I'm watching Mike grow more than I watched him when he was here because he's all the outside stuff got taken away from him. So now he's just able to focus on you. And that's exactly what he's doing, Lord. And I just praise your name for that.
Yes.
I pray for the teens and the kids.
Yes.
There's camps coming up, Lord.
Yes, Father.
I pray that you can move in them. Make them understand the importance of going to camp and being around other teenagers that are in the same, that have the same goal and the same passion of just loving you, Lord.
Yes.
The teens are so special for me. The kids in this church are so special to me because I know that that's the future of the church.
Mm-hmm.
Everything, every time we fix something in this church, I always think it's because of the next generation.
Yep.
We got to make sure that this church is here, Lord.
Yep. Amen.
So just be with them, Lord. Thank you for Zach joining us today.
Yes, Father.
We're not sure exactly what that looks like, but I got a funny feeling he'll be coming again.
Mm-hmm.
And we just thank you for his willingness to serve and say yes.
Yes.
And just love you, Father. I've seen such change from him and just the last 6 months, Lord. It's been beautiful to watch. I thank you for Lisa because she was just godsend. We had no idea what we were gonna do, and here she is, just showing up, just showing up and producing for us. So we just thank you for her, and Lord, we just pray for the church. It's still a new season in this church. It's still transitioning into a new season. We got summer coming up, and it's a busy summer, Lord. I just pray for everybody that comes here that they can just know that it's all about our heart posture. It's all about what's in our heart.
Amen.
It's not what's in our mind, but what's in our heart,
yes,
Lord. And I just want them to know that.
Amen.
We love you, Father. We thank you for the opportunity that we have to just talk about you. It's in your precious name that we pray. Amen.
Amen.
Amen, amen, amen.
Well, this has been episode 132.
Hey, wait. So where can they listen to it at? Nobody, Elijah's not here to say that, so you.
No, that's Dave's going to say that right now.
Dave's going to say that?
I think Dave was going to say that.
Yeah, he was about to say that.
Yeah, I think he was going to say something like, this has been episode 132. And if we made you laugh, likely. If we made you think, probably not.
Mm-hmm.
Click the like button and check us out. We're on Facebook, Podcast Addict,
and where else?
Apple Podcast Play, YouTube, Spotify.
Yep.
Pretty much anywhere you can click a button.
Yep.
We're there. We're going to be off next week. I'm not really sure why right now, but the producer just said we're going to be off next week.
It's our week off to have. So we're on a schedule. We're off.
Yeah,
every
we're on
six
a schedule.
Weeks.
We're off next week. Is that the when we're doing the party?
Yeah,
we're doing a party.
We're going to the Bahamas.
Sweet. Because we filtered the money through this.
Yeah. all the money we're making on this show, we're going to the Bahamas. Are we on the air still?
No. We're off. Yeah, we're definitely off. So the money, like the Ponzi scheme of the prodigal sons, we're taking the money in from donations. We're putting it into the Bahamas fund.
Yeah, we're
going to be in the Bahamas. So,
okay, but it wasn't me because I wasn't invited. I'm not one of Dave's best friends.
Says the accountant. All right, guys. We love you. Have a great week. We'll catch you 2 weeks from now for episode 133. Bye. Love you.
All right. Have a good one. God bless.
Enjoy the music.
Thank you, guys.